Good morning. My name is Monica, and I will be your conference facilitator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Mexico's Ministry of Finance Report on Public Finances and Public Debt for the fourth quarter 2005. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. With us today, we have Alonso Garcia-Tomez, who is Undersecretary of Finance and Public Credit. With him, we have Alejandro Warner, who is the Head of Economics Planning Unit. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Garcia-Tomez. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Thank you very much, and welcome everyone to Mexico's Ministry of Finance conference call on the Public Finances and Public Debt Report for the last quarter of last year. I would like first to go over some of the main results for the period that is being reported, and after that, I will be joined by Alejandro Werner, who is the head of the Macroeconomic Policy Unit, and by Ricardo Sánchez Baker, who is the deputy head of the Public Credit Unit, to answer some questions. Let me remind our friends of the press who might be attending this conference call that in order to maintain an open dialogue in this conference call, this is an off-the-record event, and with this, I would like to start commenting on the main macroeconomic developments. Economic activity maintained its dynamism in the fourth quarter of 2005. Exports, private consumption, and investment were the strongest component of aggregate demand. We estimate that GDP grew at an annual rate of 3% in the fourth quarter, a figure that reflects the negative performance of the primary sector. In this regard, non-agricultural GDP growth for the last quarter is estimated at 3.8%. Given the behavior of the economy in the last quarter, real GDP growth for 2005 is estimated at around 3%. Among the available economic indicators for the fourth quarter, the following ones stand out. Sales, as reported by the National Retailers Association and Walmart, increased at annual rates of 8.7 and 14.8% respectively. Private investments posted a 7.3% annual growth in October. Total exports increased 19% in annual terms. Manufacturing exports grew 17.4%, reflecting annual increases of maquila and non-maquila exports of 15 and 20.5% respectively. Total imports grew 13.8% annually. Imports of consumption, capital, and intermediate goods grew 25.6%, 14.6%, and 11.3% respectively. In the October-November period, industrial production accumulated a 4.7 annualized growth. Within this sector, the following indicators stand out. In the first 2 months of the last quarter, construction, manufacturing, and mining production grew at an annualized rate of 5.2, 3.5, and 7.8, respectively. Automotive production expanded 34.2% in the fourth quarter, according to the Mexican Association of Automakers. In the first 2 months of the last quarter, the production of services expanded at 4.2% annually. Notwithstanding this, the negative incidence of Hurricane Vilma on tourism, mainly in Cancun and Cozumel, it is estimated that part of the demand for these kind of services was shifted to other Mexican resort centers, thus reducing the overall negative impact. Agriculture was affected significantly by Hurricane Stan and droughts in Mexico, in Mexico's northern states. As a result, in the October-November period, the production of this sector fell 7.5% annually. The monthly GDP proxy, the IGAI index, posted a 2.8 annual increase in October-November. Excluding agriculture, this index posted a 3.7 annual growth in the first 2 months of the last quarter. According to Social Security affiliation data, almost 577,000 formal jobs were created in 2005. The recovery in the labor market was reflected on the reduction of the unemployment rate, which fell to 3.1% at the end of 2005 from 3.7% a year earlier. Inflation closed 2005 at 3.33%, which is the lowest level observed in this indicator since 1968. In the first 11 months of 2005, banking credit to the private sector grew at 29.5% annually. Within this item, consumer credit and mortgages grew at annual rates of 45 and 43.8%, and credit to businesses increased at 18.7% annually. It is worth highlighting that the economy grew at an annualized rate of 6.8% in the second semester of 2005. This expansion compares favorably to the almost null growth rate, actually a slight negative growth rate of 0.2%, which was observed in the first semester of the previous year. Let me move now to describe the main results on public finances. The public deficit in 2005 amounted to 7.5 billion pesos, which is 9 basis points of GDP estimated of the GDP, which is estimated for the year. This amount is 9.95 billion pesos below the limit that was established in the Federation's expenditure decree for 2005. This is due to the application of the distribution rules for excess revenues established in the same decree. Thus, the public deficit for 2005 is the lowest registered during the current administration. Revenues in 2005 were 5.8% higher in real terms than those of 2004. These revenues exceeded by 167.2 billion pesos, the amount projected in the 2005 fiscal program, due to the following factors. First, 109.1 billion pesos from oil revenues, 31.7 billion pesos from public entities under direct budgetary control other than Pemex, 22.2 billion pesos from non-taxable revenues, and 4.1 billion pesos from non-oil tax revenues. Oil revenues grew 9.6% in real terms due to the increase in the international in the price of international crude. Non-oil tax revenues grew 6.4% in real annual terms in 2005. Among its component, value-added tax revenue grew 7.5% and income tax collection grew 7.1% in real terms. According to the 2005 Federal Expenditure Decree, excess revenues were allocated as follows. 44 billion pesos from the duty on oil revenues for prices above $27 per barrel were channeled equally to investment in Pemex and to the states. 34.1 billion pesos from revenues generated by public entities under direct budgetary control were returned to them. 26.9 billion pesos from non-tax revenues were allocated to those branches that generated them, and 62.2 billion pesos were distributed among what is established in the budget decree as follows. 22.3 billion pesos to investment in Pemex, 11.2 billion pesos to the Oil Stabilization Fund, and an equal amount to improve the public balance, 8.3 billion pesos to additional spending on natural disasters relief, 7.1 billion pesos to cover higher CFEs, the energy company, the electricity company, faced fuel costs which were not recovered through subsidized electricity prices, 0.9 billion pesos to compensate for reductions in other revenues, and 1.2 billion pesos to cover additional non-programmable expenditures. Moving to the expenditure side, in 2005, the public sector total budgetary spending increased by 4.8% in real terms. Also, primary spending increased 5.7% in real terms with respect to 2004. Within public spending, it is worth stressing that investment fostered by the public sector increased 7.2% annually, and that the public sector wage bill grew 3.5% annually. Within this item, personnel expenditure on social development areas increased 5.5% and expenditure on administrative areas diminished 4.3%. The financing cost of the public sector decreased 2.2% in real terms with respect to last year, and this was due mainly to lower expenses on lenders and borrowers' support programs, as well as on interest payments on the external debt. Now I would like to describe the main developments of the public debt front. As in previous years, the public debt policy in 2005 followed three main lines of action. First, the public deficit was financed entirely with domestic sources of funding, and a significant net reduction in external debt was achieved. The local currency financing was obtained in an orderly fashion, relying mostly in long-term fixed-rate securities. And third, the funding of all our financing needs in the local market allowed us to implement a proactive debt strategy aimed at improving conditions of external debt. During 2005, the process of transformation of external debt for internal debt was accelerated. This was achieved through the execution of a set of key financial operations framed in the general strategy of minimizing the financial cost of the public debt given a prudent level of risk. The first operation was executed in two stages and had the double objective of completing the pre-funding of the government market's external debt amortizations for 2006 and implementing liability management operations. In the first stage, the federal government purchased 2.9 billion of the international reserves position of Banco de Mexico to complete, together with the resources obtained through previous pre-funding operations, an amount of $4.8 billion. In the second stage, the federal government used part of these resources to prepay sovereign bonds for $1.5 billion. The other important operation was the issuance of warrants to exchange dollar-denominated bonds for nominal fixed-rate bonds in pesos. This was an innovative operation with no precedent in the international financial markets, and its completion will allow the federal government to continue its substitution process of external for internal debt in the most frictionless possible manner, since investors are likely to exercise the warrant in order to expand their exposure to local government bonds. At the end of 2005, Mexico's net public sector debt totaled almost 22% of GDP, which is 1.3 percentage points lower than the figure that was registered at the end of 2004. Total net public sector external debt decreased 2.4 percentage points as a share of GDP. As a result, the public sector net external debt amounted to 8.3% of GDP at the end of 2005, its lowest level in the last 42 years. As a share of total public sector debt, external debt amounted at the end of 2005, 38%, which is 16.6 percentage points lower than its share at the beginning of the current administration. Net internal debt increased 1.1% as a share of GDP, reflecting the strategy of substitution of external debt for internal debt implemented throughout the year. As a result, the public sector net internal debt amounted to 13.6% of GDP in 2005. In terms of the composition of internal debt, the relative participation of nominal fixed-rate government bonds with tenors greater than 1 year in total domestic debt increased from 44.7% in 2004 to 48.4% at the end of the fourth quarter of 2005. As a consequence, the average maturity of government securities increased from 1,071 days at the end of 2004 to 1,211 days at the end of 2005. I want to add that the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirements, an indicator that represents the augmented debt, amounted to 37.5% of GDP at the end of 2005. This is 0.8 percentage points lower than the figure registered at the end of 2004 and is the lowest since 1997. I would like to finish by commenting briefly on the economic program and outlook for 2006. First, fiscal discipline will be maintained and public finances will be further consolidated in 2006, as Congress approved a balanced budget for the year. Along with a prudent and opportune debt management strategy, this will help promoting conditions for macroeconomic and financial stability. Also, we expect Congress to keep working on important legislations, some of which were advanced in 2005. In fact, some of them were finished in 2005, like the new securities law, which was approved by both chambers during the last congressional period and is now under its transitory status, so it will enter into full effect at the end of June. But additional to this one, we expect the Congress to continue working on the budget law, which was approved by the Chamber of Deputies and is now in the Senate, a reform to grant Pemex administrative and operational autonomy, several initiatives aimed at strengthening the legal framework on the financial sector, particularly in the banking system. Finally, the dynamism of the Mexican economy in the second semester of 2005 anticipates a strong first half in 2006. While moderation of economic growth is granted for the second semester of this year by market expectations, we anticipate that the economy will maintain its overall positive trend and post a 3.6% annual growth in 2006. With this, I finish my presentation. We can proceed to the question and answer section. Thank you very much.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Lumiria Valderez with Bancor. Lumiria, your line is open for a question. There is no response from this line. Would you like for me to proceed?
Yes, please.
Your next question comes from the line of Christian Streck with CreditSight.
Good morning, and thank you, everyone. I'm sorry, I think I have something somewhat scratchy line, so I apologize for that. But I just wanted to ask a quick question on some of the Social Security numbers, particularly the significant increase in revenues over and above what was programmed. I'm just looking at the IMSS and the ISSSTE. They both had IMSS from the appendices had 7.7 billion pesos more than programmed, and ISSSTE had 10.2 billion more. Can you discuss a little bit where that came from?
Basically, from the larger than expected increase in employment that drove contribution from employees and employers to Social Security to a level that it was much larger than what was expected at the beginning of the year. I think the number of jobs, formal jobs created during the year, close to 600,000, was much larger than what was expected at the beginning of the year. If you remember, last year we closed slightly below 400,000, and basically that's the main explanation for the increase in income of the Social Security institution. Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Gray Newman of Morgan Stanley.
Yes, good morning. Alonso, thank you. There's a comment that I'm reading on the wires yesterday from the governor of the central bank, Mr. Ortiz, who said that he thinks that it would be useful, or at least that the wires reporting useful for the finance ministry to buy a portion of the international reserves without issuing new domestic debt and to use those reserves to pay external debt down further. And sort of a two-part question. Alonso, you sort of addressed it earlier when you discussed some of the thinking behind the substitution of domestic for external debt. And I know that you have a document out that looks at the strategy on that front. But just a little more in terms of your philosophy of and the administration's philosophy of, you know, really, you know, what is the room or the purpose of external debt if the federal government is able in the future and has been actually, you know, satisfying all of its needs by borrowing in its own currency. You know, is there a space for external debt in sort of in your perspective, medium term? And the second part of the question is just more the mechanics or the logistics of this on a legislative process. Is there something that could be done now, or does this really have to wait for another budget, or can you approach Congress in a way to purchase reserves without issuing debt in return? Thank you.
Thank you, Gray. I read these the statement of the governor in the papers, and not on the front lines, but you know, that in the note, it says something which is very important to incorporate in the discussions, and you mentioned it. The way you phrased it was that he's proposing as the government to use the reserves in order to reduce the external debt. But the way you said it was that without issuing domestic debt, the only way to achieve that, the only way to do a reduction of debt, which is what would be the net result of this transaction, as we would be reducing external debt and not increasing domestic debt, so it is a reduction in the total debt, is with the generation of a fiscal surplus, and these we have not had so far. No, and until we do not have it, I mean that is. That is maybe a proposition and a good purpose, and I would fully agree with that strategy. If we generated the surplus, the fiscal surplus needed to implement this debt strategy, this debt reduction. No? Right. But so far we are just not there. We have nevertheless, as you very well know, and I commented before, we have implemented a strategy that, in order to reduce the vulnerability of the Mexican economy, has consisted in substituting external debt for internal debt, and this has been done, you know, gradually but steadily over the last few years, and was accelerated during last year through different transactions. I would say that in order for the reserves to be used, if we were able to generate a fiscal deficit, no other legal changes would be required to implement the strategy that is being suggested by the governor. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Alejandro Padilla of J.P. Morgan.
Good morning to all, and thank you for your conference. This is David Franco. In terms of the very impressive results in the oil windfall that we have this year, I kind of see the change in the primary balance in terms of GDP. According to your estimates, this was 2.51% of GDP, and this was actually unchanged from the figure that we had in 2004. I was wondering what items in the balance were the ones that prevented a more clear improvement in the fiscal stance, given the very spectacular oil windfall. And actually, I have another question, in the sense that, is it the fact that we should expect the fiscal stance to loosen in the first months of 2006, given the fact that some of the oil revenues are paid to Pemex and states, and they are probably put into trust funds, and obviously they are not spent immediately. They are probably spent with a time lag. Is it possible to say that the fiscal stance will kind of loosen in the first months of 2006? Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. Well, basically, we are not seeing a more important improvement in the fiscal balance out of these excess oil income, because all this excess income is channeled to spending according to what is established in the spending decree, you know, in the budgetary decree, and it is very clearly established there what the destiny of each excess dollar out of oil goes to, you know? And as it was described according to those rules, it partially goes to Pemex, and another portion goes to goes to the states, and then the remaining excess income is used to cover some of the increase in costs or deficits in income that we could face from the originally estimated ones. No, so that is the reason why we do not dedicate more of this excess income to improve the balance. No? I would like Alejandro to give you more details on this and to address the second question.
Yeah, basically, on the second question, from a very narrow point of view, the analysis that you made, I think, won't be reflected in the fiscal accounts, because fiscally, we reflected expenditures once the money went into the trust fund. So once we deposit the money for the state in the trust fund for investment at the state level, government revenues in our budget accounts has already been impacted. So once, if the state wants to spend that money next in 2006, then that won't be accounted as federal expenditures in 2006. The same thing is true for Pemex. I mean, in the public sector accounts, we account as an expenditure when we take the money out and put it in the trust fund for investment for Pemex. If Pemex wants to invest it next year, then on the public sector account, this won't be reflected. The expenditure was impacted in 2005. So from a more broad perspective or economic perspective, you would say, okay, what I care for is for the impact on aggregate demand coming from this expenditure. And in that sense, we have to remember that last year, Pemex also had a carryover from 2003 into 2004 for this trust fund. So when you look at year-over-year figures, again, this won't be the case, because in 2005, Pemex already had a significant amount of money. I think it was around 30 billion pesos that was deposited in an investment trust fund. The only phenomenon that might generate a faster implementation of expenditure in 2006 vis-a-vis 2005 is that in 2005 we had the constitutional controversy and the discussion regarding the veto of the budget, and that generated a lot of uncertainty in the execution of expenditure, and that might that slow down the expenditure in some areas until we had a more clear legal scenario of what the Supreme Court the Supreme Court ruling, and eventually the way Congress addressed the ruling by the Supreme Court. In that sense, this year we are not facing that problem, and expenditures will be flowing as programmed in the budget decree, and that might generate some increases in expenditures, but overall there's no huge impact on our huge fiscal loosening in the first part of the year coming from neither of these phenomena, not from the trust funds and not from the growth of expenditure from 2005 to 2004 associated with the constitutional controversy in 2005.
Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your next question comes from the line of Luzmiria Valverde of Vancomar. Your line is open for a question.
Sorry, okay, perhaps that one's mine. This is Eduardo Torres from Vancomer, and because the line is transferred, perhaps I just missed the opportunity of the first question. Sorry about that. Well, I want to take over the last question Alejandro Werner was answering about this controversy on the budget. Could you clarify us if how is it going to be spent, this amount that was withheld last year? And how is it going to enter the budget this year? And I have a second question, which is, what's the outlook for public prices? Do you think they will once again be aligned with the inflation target, or if we should expect a rather small increase in gasolines and electricity and public prices in general? Thank you.
Okay, regarding the first question, everything was spent in 2005. I mean, there was a small amount of money that was 4,000 million pesos that was frozen in an account, but after there was an agreement in Congress on how to address the ruling by the Supreme Court said that this money should be unfrozen and basically was spent according to those items that were in the budget, and in the case that those items were not possible to be, I mean the money was not possible to be used in those items because it was too late in the year, it was spent in a series of items that Congress said this money should be spent. And then the rest of the items that was not frozen but was under discussion in the constitutional controversy, again Congress addressed the ruling by the Supreme Court with a list of uses for 80 billion pesos for the money that was under discussion, and basically that was negotiated with Hacienda, and basically during the fourth quarter of 2005 this money was spent according to the agreement we had with Congress. So in that sense, the budget of 2006 is not affected by any carryover effects from the constitutional controversy that took place in 2005. Regarding public sector prices, I mean, the main price, I mean, the prices that enter the national price index is basically electricity, domestic gas, and gasoline. Electricity and gasoline are going to increase by an average of 4% during the year. Domestic gas prices is composed by gas LP, that is liquefied petroleum gas, and natural gas. Between 80 and 90% of consumption is liquefied petroleum gas, and that is going to increase by 4% during the year. That implies a significant reduction from a rate of around 14% in 2005. And natural gas has a subsidy program that also reduces the impact. Natural gas for consumers has a subsidy program that reduces the impact of increases in the international prices of gas to the consumer. So we think that given that the largest fraction of the basket of public sector prices is increasing by 4%, and there's only a small amount associated with with natural gas that it's also subsidized, and that might even fall vis-a-vis 2005, our projection is that public sector prices inflation for 2006 will be below 4% in December of this year. And a lot of this forecast is made from an agreement that the president made, and basically is limiting the increase of key prices like subsidized electricity, liquefied petroleum gas, and gasolines to around 4%. So we think that there will be a fall from, I think, a rate close to 5%, no, I think it was 7% inflation of administered prices in 2005 to somewhere below 4% in 2006.
Okay, thank you very much. Just a clarifying point. On the first question, you mentioned these 80 billion pesos were spent in the fourth quarter. Would you think this should affect the GDP growth for this period?
I mean, obviously it might affect GDP growth because there might be some carryover effect if the government spent the money in the last quarter of 2005, and some of that money will have generated some employment, and that employment will have an impact on aggregate demand in 2006. Regarding the fiscal accounts, it won't have an impact. Regarding the evolution of the economy, it might have an impact in the first quarter or in the first two quarters of 2006. In addition to that, part of the money that is granted to the states, then the states might not spend it in 2005 and might have kept the money and be spending that in 2006. So in that sense, you're right that the evolution of the economy in the first half of 2006 might have some carryover from these 80 billion pesos. Just a clarification, public sector administered prices inflation was 7%, administered plus concerted prices was around 4%. So we are expecting just the administered component to fall from 7% to below 4% in 2006.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Franco De Nigris of Bear Stearns.
Hi, how are you, Eric? The question would be if there is a specific strategy in terms of repaying external debt. I mean, we've seen Brazil and Argentina repaying their IMF credits, and in the sense that would you be paying what's coming due, whatever it is, if it's bonds or multilateral or bilateral debt? Is there a specific strategy that you would follow this year?
We ask and were granted by Congress a reduction of $500 million for the external debt for this year. So that's a reduction that will take place. And from that, the assumptions we normally work with is that we will roll over the maturities from all this multilateral funding that we have, and we normally make any further adjustments in market debt. As you know, we have already pre-funded the debt that is maturing this year, so we are in quite a comfortable position to achieve an extra reduction on external debt. On top of that, we have the warrants which were issued out of the transactions I mentioned in the presentation, which could result in an additional reduction of external debt substituted by internal debt. On top of that, there is no specific transactions that we are thinking about implementing at the current time. So, depending on market conditions, we could additionally do something. I think it's worth mentioning also is that despite the strategy of reducing external debt, we do not believe that the optimal strategy is to take external debt to zero. No, it is a very good source of funding, and from an efficiency strategy, it is worth maintaining that source open. And if that is going to be the case, we better take care, or we better continue to take care. On having a very liquid and a very well functioning market on our external debt, and with that in mind, we will continue monitoring the market, and if at some point we identify that we can continue to implement some liability management transactions, we will be doing so.
Very well, thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your next question comes from the line of Novia Saka of PIMCO.
Yes, I would like to know if if you have some figures about the central bank intervention in the foreign market and that has built up the accumulation of reserves. By how periodically intervened the central bank in the market? And how much did by 2005? Hello?
Yes, thank you very much for your question. Just one second, please. ¿Viendo diario? Okay, perfect. Hello. Yes, there is a... okay. Foreign exchange market in Mexico operates completely freely without any central bank intervention that is not pre-announced and according to a very specific rule. A central bank normally conducts foreign exchange transactions with the federal government and normally also conducts foreign exchange transactions with the state oil company, which is Pemex. No? Out of those transactions, mainly out of the very high oil prices that we have seen in the last few years, we have seen a surplus in the operations that are done by the central bank, which translate into an accumulation of reserves. No? In order to reduce this accumulation and to move closer to a neutral position, what the central bank has announced is that a portion of this accumulation of reserves is then sold into the market according to specific rules. No? There is a fixed portion that is sold on a daily basis into the market through an open auction process. The amount that is being sold currently by the central bank in the market, in the foreign exchange market, if I'm not mistaken, is close to $15 million per day. No? And this is reviewed on a quarterly basis, no? Depending on the accumulation that was observed on a previous period, no? So that's the way the foreign exchange market and the works in Mexico and the participation of the central bank. Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then the number 1 on your telephone keypad.
Could I just clarify a figure that I gave? It's not $15 million per day. It's $25 million per day. What is sold? What has been sold in the last? It's going to start on February, and it's going to end in April. That is the amount on a daily basis that is going to be sold by the central bank. And this is the result of selling half of the accumulation that was observed in a previous period by the central bank.
At this time, there are no further questions in the queue.
Okay, if that is the case, I would like to thank again everybody for participating in this conference call. Okay, and that would be all for today. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's Mexico's Ministry of Finance report on public finances and public debt for the fourth quarter 2005. You may now disconnect.